It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's alive! Yes, yes it is, indeed. After a teardown and a rebuild that didn't work, and then a teardown... Well, it worked at first, then it didn't work right before airtime yesterday evening. And then it... I did it all over again, and it works. Welcome to the... new-ish studio. No, there's nothing new about the studio. It's still 80 freaking degrees in here. But there's some new equipment in line. This is actually the road rig. And I think it's going to sound monumentally better. And there's been a bunch of changes in the way the audio chain goes. And the Fab Machine is now... Well, it may be the first time that magnificent processor and those 32 gigs of RAM have ever really done their thing. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. I feel ever so much better than I did this time last night. I hate it when I go to start the program and I get... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I could stick a microphone out the door and get that in real time. The crickets have begun, and there's some cicadas in the mix as well in the late summer symphony here in almost level West Bicol, Trump, Virginia, Stan. A little bit of the natural world's life that the coal industry hasn't yet managed to kill. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon, Asa, and Steve in New York. Brother Deacon, Asa, saying, full speed ahead towards that iceberg on both pontoons, Skipper Bob. Yeah, and Steve says, sounds great, loud and clear on Head On Live. Very nice indeed. So this program, like every program on the horn, begins with gratitude. And because there was no More In Monday yesterday evening, there's an extra load of thank yous to extend. Our subscribers knock down about a quarter of our funding every month, and so we thank them. So for today, thank you going out to Greg and to Kay and to Gary and Gaia, because it is no longer the loneliest day of the month, the 13th. Also, thanks going out to Paul and Mark and Suman, and our buddy Gary up in the greater New York City area. Thanks to Sean, to Mary Bell, John, Paul from Parts Unknown, Tony and Chico. Thank you to Christopher. And thank you to Libby. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. So, that's the thank yous that get the week going. Now, where do we stand as far as keeping all of this, all the plates spinning on all the little sticks? $400. And I need to sort that out with Larry in Liberalville, because Larry wanted to put a challenge on the table. And we'll get started with that this evening. Larry said, I'd like to contribute to your funding goal for Monday. Well, we didn't have one of those. And so I'd like to put a $100 challenge. And so there's a $100 challenge on the table tonight. We can wipe out if we can raise $100, we'll be golden. Larry says, what you do is vital to all of you, capital U, period, capital S, period. And that's very, very kind, Larry. Thank you. All of us, the U.S. Agnes will be bringing the cold bucket of water and the C-clamp in a minute, and we'll get that. We'll get my swelling head well under control. As an addendum to Larry's note, however, a question for the Horn community. As part of the $100 challenge, you could ask for responses to the question, why is Trump's hair so long? Why is Trump's hair so long? So if you want to jump in on the $100 challenge, maybe add a message when you do. And it's not just for people responding to the challenge. It's for everybody. It's for the whole community. Why is Trump's hair so long? Okay. Now, just to keep this interesting, please remind me. And after the challenge is met, and I've seen as many responses come in as people who want to respond do so, I will give you Larry's answer. And it's a good answer, too. I mean, this is, wait a minute. Have we ever given a cowbell without knowing what the cowbell is for? Because I think I'm going to do that with this. Yes. Okay. So there's a cowbell for Larry because Larry's response was funny. And then you send your answers, bobkincaid@gmail.com, or use the email interface at headon.live. And let's see if anybody comes up with the same answer as Larry in Liberalville. Why is Trump's hair so long? Na 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 na. Right, you get the idea. And you don't have to worry about phrasing it in the form of a question. We're not that stickly here. Speaking of stickly, it was ooey gooey in the outside today. We got up into the high 80s, but God, the humidity was even higher. And it's cooled off a little bit. The rain we got cooled things off. It's only 81 degrees in here now, so it's considerably more bearable than it was. Made more so, of course, by Naked Radio. This program brought to you by Naked Radio. Which reminds me, just to get things started on this Trumptanic Tuesday, where we celebrate great instances of white-wing intellect. Now, this isn't really right-wing, but it's West Virginia, so some Trump voter probably made this mistake or came up with it. You remember, I guess it was maybe a couple of years ago, because it was during the special election campaign of Roy Tola Moore down in Talabama that the phrase sex clams entered our consciousness. Well, in the years intervening, we've gone from sex clams to meth-fueled attack squirrels to Tennessee River meth gators. And now, courtesy of WVNS TV 59 here in southern West Virginia, we have a new entry into the bizarre taxonomies of Trump-merca. Let's see here. I want to. I want to get. I want to get the language exactly correct, because great moments of great moments in journalistic screw-ups like this cannot be, well, screwed up. You wouldn't want to compound it, you see. Because, well, the state fairs aren't just going on in the great Midwest, and particularly Iowa, where people eat things like deep-fried butter on a stick, or Republicans oblivious to the visual optics. I guess the visual becomes redundant. The optics of it go ahead and deep-throat corn dogs. Well, the state fair has started in West Virginia as well. And it's not as big as Iowa's state fair or Ohio's or Minnesota's or Wisconsin's or, hell, for all I know, even Rhode Island's. Hi, Charlene. But it's a fun little state fair. For years and years and years, there was a church that had a booth. I don't know if they still do because I haven't been in ages. There was a church down in the far corner back toward the exhibit hall and underneath the bleachers of the entertainment pavilion. For all I knew, they handled rattlesnakes. I just don't know. But everybody knew to beat a hot path to that booth because they were frying donuts. And they were the best fresh donuts you'd ever eaten in your life. You know, not like Krispy Kremes. These had crispy outsides, and they were sprinkled with cinnamon and sugar, and they served them to you in a brown paper bag, you know, just like bad bootleg liquor. And you shook them, and the grease kind of fell away from them, and they were heavenly delights. But because we live in a time when Trump supporters bring massive ordnance to public events and public places in hopes of slaughtering them, certain precautions were taken at the West Virginia State Fair this year. And WVNS 59 News announced extra-large bags, coolers, trench coats, and weapons of any kind are not allowed in the fairgrounds. That's when Agnes and I knew we wouldn't be going to the fair this year. We don't go anywhere that every member of our family can't go. There was a lot of things we didn't do when the kids were little because the kids couldn't go in. And the same applies to those horned, furry members of our family. That's right, the Kincaid trench goats. They're the ones who keep the ground. They fill in trenches some places. They dig them with their horns in others. And there's lots of there's lots of animal husbandry exhibits at the fair, but you can't bring your trench goats. You know what? When trench goats are outlawed, only outlaws will have trench goats. Yes. Yes. Safe to say probably that this is the only globally heard radio program beginning a Tuesday broadcast, or perhaps even Mondays, with trench goats. You gotta be here if you want to be out in front. Getting us started on the responses to Larry and Liberalville's question, why is Trump's hair so long? Ralph's answers, because it's been growing since he was born, and I'll chip in $10. Okay, so we got $90 to go on Larry's challenge. Oh, thank you, Ralph's. Thank you. See, having all the equipment work just makes all the difference in the damned world. It does. Well, thank you, Brad. Brad with a note. Did you see that Fredo Cuomo went apeshit? Don't call him Fredo. That's the same as calling him the N-word, an Italian the N-word. I saw that clip today, and I don't know what to think. Because you know what? Only the N-word is the N-word. plain and simple. I don't know how. No, it's not the. But to Cuomo's credit, having some little white wing dickhead come up and deliberately offer up a provocation when a guy's out with his family, and then get exactly what he wanted because he went to video it. I'm not too upset with Chris Cuomo about it. I mean, granted, I don't think I've ever actually seen him work live on CNN. All I can say is gone are the grand old days of Larry King and his sweater vests and his suspenders. Chris Cuomo is no Larry King, not even for the millennials. But it was purely dickish of the white winger to do that. And besides, calling anybody Fredo as long as Stephen Miller is alive in the world is pretty well, you know. I mean, Stephen Miller, please. He even looks a little bit like him. As for Andrew Cuomo, you know, he lost his shit in front of his family. And I think that if that was me, that would bother me more than anything else. But as far as I could tell, having watched the video, he was just talking like Trump talks. Trump's got a filthy fucking mouth. I mean, it's just a flowing sewer of perpetual vomit. I mean, Chris Cuomo was talking like every stereotype of New Yorkers carrying on conversation that I've ever heard. I mean, I remember there was an old Robin Williams special. Live at Carnegie Hall. And there was some remark about, if a New York City cop confronted, you know, it's some sort of strange set. The guy comes in the night, and hey, fucking give me that thing. Yeah, fuck you. Isn't that word the official word of Manhattan Island? The things we take time to. Meanwhile, note coming in from Kyle. I probably should save this for prayer meeting Wednesday, but the idea that Republicans need guns confuses me. That's okay. They're confused too, Kyle. Don't take it personally. They say they have this God who protects them from all evil. Yet they need killing machines to protect themselves from unarmed liberals and socialist commies. Bob, I really am. I'm confused. And what's interesting, though, is that given that this country is it wasn't founded on Christianity, it's just how the demographics worked out, this country is majority Christian. And most of the people doing the slaughtering were raised Christian. And so most of the Hispanic people who were slaughtered in El Paso were also, well, Christians. Whatever shall we do about this Christian-on-Christian violence? Have you seen what's going on in Alabama today? Letting Alabama do all the heavy lifting for the word. You know, if I was Ivanka, let's not forget about the violence in Alabama. Right? Darlene with a response. Forget why is Trump's hair so long. Why is Trump's hair the color of corn? I should like to know, she says, pulling a Kobayashi Maru on the test question itself, and thereby providing our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. News Ninja Gene Trump's hair and says he's copying Boris Johnson. Oh, Jesus. Oh, those poor people in the UK. You got Boris Johnson. Well, and now I have to live another 24 hours with Boris the Spider running through my mind. It's a hell of a thing. What's that? You know, any email that rolls in with the subject line, deep-throating corn dogs, they don't call them teabaggers for nothing, says Steve in New York. He's a Balchinian. What's that? Dave from the Blinds. Trench goats, for God's sake, Bob. Contact Homeland Insecurity. These malicious mammals must be stopped infiltrating our puppies and cats and pot-bellied pigs, the Vietnamese variety. Head for the hills, Bob. Wait, you're in West Virginia. You're already there. These damn commie animals must be stopped. Sorry, Bob, I was sounding like my dad. I return you now to your regularly scheduled liberal broadcast and your regularly scheduled Dave in the Blind. Thank you, Dave. Well, I mentioned Brad's little comment about Cuomo a little bit ago. He's already, he said he's looking forward to Trump's reelection, so that's probably about as much airplay as Brad's going to get. Brad. Because the follow-up, it makes use of both gynecological slurs and sexuality slurs. Ron and Raleigh. Well, from Queen Tracy. Thanks, Darlene. You just ruined corn for me forever. Oh, I knew there'd be blowback. I knew it. Ron in Raleigh says, I've heard Trump's hair has been described as piss-colored cotton candy. I agree. That's good, and it carries the added bonus of reminding us that Trump and urine, he's urine, not mine, share something in common. But just from actual color, I saw that latest dye job that he got. My goodness, we're vacuous early in the program this evening, aren't we? And to me, it just looked like, tell me if I'm wrong, it's the exact same color as a melted banana popsicle in the sun. And if you think back to the video with the fly crawling out onto his forehead and then crawling up into his hair, I'm sure shrieking, help me, help me. It did with the flies and the melted banana popsicle that the little kid dropped, yeah. Okay, here's another entry courtesy of Billable Rick. Trump's hair is so long because he needs something to wrap around his little Trump to prevent it from falling off. Well, dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone just took a beating. Thanks, Billable Rick. Maybe think about using your powers for good. Isn't there a Ted Nugent concert or a Lee Greenwood show or Kid Rock like we were talking about on Friday you could attend? Well, it's no trouble at all, Silent R. Lamar. I got to get your podcast. I enjoy hearing you read my piss-poor attempts at humor. Thank you, Bob. For your kindness to a 60-something old fat man. Well, from a 50-something old fat man to a 60-something old fat man, ain't nothing to it. Thanks, Silent R. I do have a question, says Steve in New York. Does Trump dye his hair to match his skin, or does he color his skin to match his hair? Well, just one thing to bear in mind. You remember years back when Bill O'Reilly was first outed as the misogynistic sexual harasser that he is? You remember? Remember part of the whole thing involved a tape of him telling a woman they wanted to rub her down with a falafel. Well, just think of Stormy or Stephanie or any of the others or those to be named later Russian prostitutes rubbing him down with carrots, probably slightly cooked to make them soft and mushy on his skin. Yep, carrots will not be on the table in the Eastern time zone at the dinner hour for quite some time now. Oh, carrots are divine. You get a dozen for a dime. It's magic. I see their orange skins and I hear violins. It's magic. So ponder that and then maybe tomorrow send me accounts of your various and sundry nightmares. Now, all kidding aside, because we've just been sort of I was just in such a good mood because everything worked. I've been kind of vamping to avoid pulling on the nipple high chest waders and heading into the fetid swamp that is. Well, that's our country in this time and place. Ah, well, there's the practical answer, courtesy of David in South Carolina, Stan. Amway. It's Amway's tan in a can body spray. God, how many cases? They must have to bring that shit in by the gross, and I do mean gross, to get proper coverage on the carotene Caligula. Silent R. Lamar says, I know what Trump is. On the subject of Trump, he's a chameleon who can't figure out his surroundings. Which reminds me, while I was up at the Wiggling Pig today, I took a photograph of a woolly worm. Mm-hmm. Because we predict the weather here in Appalachia via natural signs. Whether the hornet's nests are high in the tree or low to the ground. Where the black and the brown is on the woolly worms. How many fogs you can count in August. It's been a foggy August here. That would indicate we're going to get some serious snow. But I saw my first woolly worm today out in the Wiggling Pig parking lot. It was black on both ends and brown in the middle. Why has it got to be black on both ends, Bob? Well, the way we read those signs here in Appalachia, that means there's going to be a lot of snow at the beginning of winter. We're going to get a break, and there's going to be a lot of snow at the end of the winter, which means we're going to have one of those probably shitty mid-March, early April blizzards that, you know, ruins everything for about 2 days and then is completely gone by day three. I got all caps from Megan, FFS, and then more all caps. Bob, I was just about to take a bite of my chicken parmesan when you put that visual of carrots being rubbed all over Nitwit Nero. Gross! I know. It's just, it's something that evolved here. Other superheroes have powers to see through walls or stretch way out and grab the bad guy. My superpower is I can ruin dinner. Yay me. Right. But into the swamp, we must eventually go. It's unavoidable. Can't be helped. And there was there was a piece that came out, and let me say by preface that I'm not going to play this audio, and I realize that I'm not at all consistent on this. It just, some days it's just more sickening than others, and this was one of them. There is a there's an Auburn High School in Illinois, and a couple of little white girls wearing gear, I guess they've since graduated that high school, wearing gear from Auburn High School, made a video that was nothing short of sickening. Just filled with hateful invective of a racist nature. And it went around social media pretty quick. And from where I stand, it needed to. This country has never even made any kind of significant effort why is Trump's hair so long? Courtesy of Sparky. He has an acting barber. Okay. An acting... See, because everybody in his administration is acting. Sparky reminds us it's 99 degrees there where he's not folding space to become the man cave. Who wants to fold space into the center of the sun? This country's never made much of an effort to come to grips with its terrible, terrible, terrible history. So when these things do go viral, it's a good thing. Because we get maybe an iota closer to acknowledging how nasty a whole lot of Americans still are. But the reason I kind of grabbed onto that clip was because of something that NBC News bruited all weekend long. Yes, I imagine we will get around to the killing of Jeffrey Epstein. See, that's neat. You can say the killing of Jeffrey Epstein and you have not denied that he committed suicide, nor have you denied that he probably should not have sat down to that last bowl of penne alla arrabbiata with Moscow marinara sauce. And we'll get to that, maybe, I guess. Scott in San Diego says, oh, what the hell, I'll play. Trump's hair is so long because it needs to be. He only has one hair. It's 48 feet long. I think I came up with that, Scott. Every morning, a squadron of underpaid, arthritic old ladies carefully twist, wind, and arrange it into the heavily lacquered keratin pile we see atop his head each day. We'll count that one in your column, Scott. Nobody's gotten Larry's answer yet, though. But all weekend long, NBC News hammered this story out of Clemson University. Now, let's remember, what is Clemson University? Clemson University is an institution of higher learning in South Carolina, Stan, that was built upon the grounds of the plantation of one of the most vicious, hateful slave owners in South Carolina's history, and that's saying something. It was built on John C. Calhoun's plantation. John C. Calhoun, in turn, although it was not over slavery, was one of the first men to try to rend the country into pieces. At one point, he was Andrew Jackson's vice president. But by arguing nullification, which is that specious theory that says the sovereign states of the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever under God, have the power to undo anything Congress does if and they don't like it. Well, he was advancing this notion long before the Civil War. Calhoun would be dead by the time the Civil War came along. But he proved to be such a fuckwit. And by the way, lots of states, especially here in the East, maybe in the West, I don't know the West so well, there's lots of Calhoun counties. There's one in West Virginia named for John C. Calhoun. Probably ought to get around to renaming that and do a little damnatio memoriae on John C. Calhoun. But Andrew Jackson got so pissed with him, he said, I'm going to get on my horse, and I'm going to ride to South Carolina, and I'll hang that John C. Calhoun as high as Haman. He was using a biblical reference. I think, what, from the Book of Esther, is it? Yeah. Well, when John C. Calhoun went on to his great reward, it went into somebody else's hands, and then after the Civil War, Clemson became a university founded on his blood-soaked, slave-worked property. And so all weekend long, NBC News just flogged this story because I guess they saw some significance out of it other than what I got out of it. They flogged this story all about how researchers in the computer department at Clemson, and they left out the computer department, researchers at Clemson University in South Carolina have identified the fact that Russian trolls and bots were primarily responsible for advancing racist videos that got a lot of Americans really mad. In other words, when a video goes out of little white girls being racists, it's being driven by Mother Russia. And I have never hesitated to condemn what we know to be fact about what Mother Russia did during the 2016 elections and are trying to do now. There's a difference with this one, though. Remember the original story about fake news way back a million years ago in 2016? 2017? One of the stories that was cited as fake news, and they even went so far as to chase it down, was some troll in, not Russia, but California, who was just trying to put outrageous things on the internet to see how many schmucks would fall for it. And one of the ones he put up was, Pope endorses Donald Trump for president. And that thing flew around Facebook like scabies in a maggot trailer park. And it was, as I recall the story, advanced by, you know, the IRA and the GRU and the GNU and, you know, Mother Russia. Because those are the kinds of games that Mother Russia plays. This, however, this story that NBC was dragging through the streets over the weekend is not the same thing. Russians aren't out there making little white girls scream that word that has all the same letters as ginger. And one of the things they cited too was that Russian trolls were responsible for naming Taco Truck Tammy Taco Truck Tammy. Here's the only difference, or the biggest difference. Taco Truck Tammy really did assault a couple of Latino women with a taco truck, just like Pool Patrol Patty and Barbecue Becky really did get caught on video displaying the worst aspects of their racist selves. Because it's who they are. And it's largely who this country still is. So you'll forgive me if it feels to me like there's a little bit of that that old South Carolina stand outside agitators about this. Because it really wasn't that long back that white folks in South Carolina stand and North Carolina stand and Tennessee stand and Kentucky stand and Georgia stand and Alabama and Mississippi stand were screaming from the seats of their white citizens council meetings that outside agitators have come down here, they're probably communists, to agitate our Negroes and make them want to and make them think they deserve more than what is their station. I mean, those are just historical facts. You had the Klan for the Bubbas and the White Citizens Councils for the people who wore suits. And they both shrieked and brooga-broogaed about outside agitators. So the upshot of the NBC News story was that African-American people wouldn't be nearly so upset by all of this homegrown American right-wing Republican voting fucking racism if it wasn't for the outside agitators of Mother Russia getting them all upset. That's one of the downsides to knowing history. You see a scurvy story like that, and you can smell the inherent bias in it from a mile away. There's no news in the fact that Russia takes their trolls and their bot farms and whatever, that they take the worst of us and broadcast it. That's a dog bites man story. It's what they do. The larger question, the real question, is why this continues to be an issue in the waning years of the 21st century of the common era in the United States of America. Why? And that is because we are a lot worse than we like to tell us ourselves that we are. So a great big fuck you to those researchers at Clemson who discovered that Russians are advancing racist videos, but at the same time, well, you get the idea. Next week, they're going to put out a story about how water is wet. Sure. So that's just a starting place. I wanted to... I wanted to make sure that we got that story in, though, because it got such a pounding. It got... No, not in a bad way. I mean, NBC News was proud of their story. I almost wondered if they were going to do an edit on it and say... What? That we should just let incidents like this roll off, like water off a duck's back? Because the upshot seemed to be that those researchers at Clemson University think it's a bad thing when racists get called out for being racists. Almost enough to make you wonder how many members of that there Clemson research team department are members of the local Clavern. Kind of crap pisses me off. Do you want to talk about Jeffrey Epstein? If you want to talk about Jeffrey Epstein, tell me what aspect of the Jeffrey Epstein story you want to talk about. Is it the fact that to say he died under suspicious circumstances is the understatement of the decade? Or shall we talk about Bill Barr to prosecution being shocked to find out that a Bureau of Prisons that has been financially gutted for years has trouble staffing some of its most intensive facilities? Is it that? Bill Barr standing there like Captain Renault in Casablanca saying, I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on here. You're winning, sir. Oh, yes, thank you. I mean, we've found out that my personal favorite was the news story that came out today from CBS News. Headline, shrieking. You don't see the word shrieking every day in a headline. Shrieking heard from Jeffrey Epstein's jail cell the morning he died. Shrieking. On the morning of Jeffrey Epstein's death, there was shouting and shrieking. We know what shrieking, that's not just, God damn! No, that's To use Hollywood terms, where's my buddy Dan Fisher when I need him? That's the Wilhelm scream. On the morning of Jeffrey Epstein's death, there was shouting and shrieking from his jail cell. Corrections officers attempted to revive him while saying, "Breathe, Epstein, breathe!" I'll just add that you can yell, "Breathe, Epstein, breathe," all you want, but if somebody's got their hands around his neck, never mind. I didn't say that. I so did not say that. Shrieking. And when even CBS refers to his death as an apparent suicide. But the best part was when Bill Barr, the prosecution, said, "We will get to the bottom of what happened and there will be accountability. I was appalled and frankly angry to learn of the MCC's failure to adequately secure this prisoner." Hey, turtle face, frog face, sorry, turtle's McConnell. Hey, frog face. You're the head of the Bureau of Prisons. You are the titular head of the Metro Correctional Center there in New York City. It's on you, Sunshine. You can't even hang this one on old Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third. This is on your watch. Resign, you old fuck. But you can't because you're Trump's personal lawyer. You're his wartime consigliere. Brother Deacon Asus says, "Call me a conspiracy theorist all you want. I think Cheeto had Epstein done inside that prison in order to make sure he doesn't squeak on Trump during the trial. That's Russian mob tactics through and through." Yes, indeed. Hence my reference to never eat the penne alla arrabbiata with the Moscow marinara. The plutonium content's a little high. But I was kind of proud of that one-liner because it also encompasses penne alla arrabbiata, which is, you know, a back reference to Mohammed bin Bonesaw. I don't just say things here. There were lots of people who were ostensibly glad to see Jeffrey Epstein shuffle off this mortal coil. Chief among them, Donald Trump. But as I predicted, granted, we weren't on the air, so I don't have a record of it, but no sooner had it happened, I said, well, the maggots will be howling in the trees, "Hillary, Benghazi," in no time flat. Megan says, "Here's the million-dollar question, Bob. Do you believe he was murdered or believe he committed suicide?" Acknowledging, of course, that the most dangerous word in the English language is believe. And I try to avoid believing as often as possible, because that means I have given up the rational and reasonable faculties of my intellect in favor of something that can neither be proven nor demonstrated to be real or even right. But here's something I know. We know. We don't believe. We know that before ABC News, who was the first to break the story, before ABC News went live with the story of Epstein's death, by some several minutes, 38 minutes, as a matter of fact, 38 minutes before the story broke, the details of Epstein's death had already been published on 4chan. You know, along with its sister 8chan, the seedy and filthy corner of the internet where nasty little white wingers and maggots go to congregate and be with people of like mind. According to BuzzFeed News, the NYFD, the fire department, is presently investigating whether one of its own members jumped on 4chan to spread the news before even the so-called legitimate media had it. It was 8:16 Saturday morning, and a post there said, "Don't ask me how I know, but Epstein died an hour ago from hanging, cardiac arrest." And then when people on 4chan challenged this poster, the original poster provided what BuzzFeed describes as a detailed breakdown of the procedures allegedly used to resuscitate Epstein. Now let's take a minute with that. If what the New York City Fire Department thinks is true is true, then let's be clear here. There aren't a bunch of wild-eyed, commie, pinko, sissy, antifa liberals on 4chan. The only people who go to 4chan are filthy, disgusting, neo-Nazi, white supremacist, neo-nationalist, neo-fascist maggots. Okay, we clear? Ergo, the New York City Fire Department has within its membership at least one exemplar of a neo-fascist, neo-nationalist, neo-white supremacist, maggot, what have you. In other words, the New York City Fire Department is infiltrated, compromised, if you will. Is it really that much of a leap to ask, then, whether or not others were as well? Is it outrageous to wonder whether he was killed? Saturday morning, the internet completely caught fire, with the maggots again howling from the highest, most tenuous branches. Hillary Clinton had him killed, and the normal people saying, "It's not like we didn't want him dead. Not a lot there worth having on the planet." But it would have been nice to see him live out a long sentence in the care, custody, and control of the Bureau of Prisons. And the misinformation and disinformation and specious information was all over creation, because the first thing out was, how does a guy on a suicide watch commit suicide? Because if somebody on a suicide watch commits suicide, you're not suicide watching very well. Or perhaps not taking it particularly seriously. And then, conveniently, a short time thereafter, the news broke that, no, Jeffrey Epstein was not on suicide watch because he had been removed from suicide watch at the request of his lawyers. Acting on what, we don't know. Or what sort of fiduciary duty to one's client, we don't know. Ugh. You get the idea, though. And, of course, in discussing this whole topic, I want to stay as far away from Alex Jones territory as I can possibly get. Me, I remembered the final moments of To Kill a Mockingbird, where the sheriff, Heck Tate, explained to Atticus that Bob Ewell had fallen on his knife 37 times. Then there was the guy who committed, I mean, this happened in the news, the guy who committed suicide by shooting himself in the back of the head with a bow and arrow. Suicide. Yeah, oh, by the way, in a crowded federal facility in New York City, somehow or another, Jeffrey Epstein didn't have a cellmate. And yeah, in his final hours, he was being guarded by someone who wasn't even a particularly well-trained or actual corrections officer, otherwise known as guard. And yeah, somebody was supposed to wander by and peep through the door about every half hour, but, well, gosh. Sometimes pedophiles fall through the cracks. As regards 4chan and 8chan, Scott in San Diego says, litany of horribles who inhabit 4chan, 8chan, 6 bits a dollar. All of you who are stupid, stand up and holler. No, wait. I agree with how you describe the entire mad pack of them, but you missed one important attribute they mostly all share. Read the full list, but add, who can't get laid? Yeah, because the incels hang out there too, don't they? Darlene in Connecticut says, I love how Barr was appalled, you have to say it twice, at the death of Epstein, yet couldn't care less about the 7, or is it 8 now, immigrant children killed in our concentration camps and the deplorable treatment of immigrants generally by the Trump regime. Yeah, it rang a little hollow. It had the tones of a tinny whorehouse piano. But he's dead. And now people are saying, gee, I wonder what happened to all of his accomplices. Because it seemed that he was protecting one Ghislaine Maxwell, flew his plane for him some, and at one point in time they were probably an item, and then she kind of became a business partner in the venture. And once all the computers and various devices and so forth and whatnot had been removed from Pedophile Island, well, that got raided yesterday by federal authorities. I don't think people are necessarily out of the woods yet. And I'm willing to bet, you know, like a $5 bill, that Chlamydia Claudius is still right nervous. You can tell when he's nervous. He twoops more. Yeah. So, is there more to talk about with Epstein than that? Before we just wander off into the same rank speculation that has been going on for 4 days now. Subject line, suicide. Ron in Raleigh says, a few years ago in Durham, a young Latino male sitting in the back of a police cruiser with his hands cuffed behind his back somehow managed to shoot himself to death. No idea where the gun came from. I'm surprised they said they found one. Maybe it was that magic bullet that's probably been flying around since November 1963. This email from James in Illinois. I could get laid if I wanted to. Shut up! Yeah, needed that. Needed that. So in the larger world, what does it mean? I think it means that I've been right all along. What does it mean that you've got a 4chaner? Because you don't just... I mean, let's say... Let's assume all these evidence in the light most favorable to whoever dropped the dime onto 4chan. Why wouldn't you, if you wanted to do something like that, why wouldn't you take it to, I don't know, your hometown paper, the New York Times? Goddamn bunch of liberal commie pinko sissies! Antifa! Really, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you call Eyewitness Team Action News Alert Center W, whatever, there in Manhattan? Call the New York Post. Call Howard Stern. He was on, no, it was Saturday, never mind. But no, dude went to 4chan. Again, you do not go, there aren't any normal people on 4chan. There are people who might look normal in the everyday world to us, but they ain't normal. It's a big facade. So, as Eileen in New York City says, that place had no trouble keeping El Chapo safe and confined. I wonder if you went back and, hey, maybe we could get those intrepid researchers from Clemson University to go and search 4chan and see if there was any, nah. The 4chan guy was apparently at NYFD. And so the serious question is, what does it mean when your first responder organizations, your cops and your fire department, are demonstrated to have a problem with neo-white nationalist, supremacist, Nazi, whatever, infiltration, because the odds are better than even that if you're a 4chaner, you're that too. Remember the American Nazi meme of Pepe the Frog, who looks a whole lot like Bill Barr now that you think about it, was born at 4chan. Steve in New York says of Epstein, hanging but died of a heart attack. That makes no sense to me. How does one die of a heart attack from hanging? Don't hangings usually lead to death by asphyxiation? Doesn't hanging break the person's neck? Not always. You got to do the knot just so if you want to snap the neck and make it instantaneous. That's why when you're watching your Western movies and suddenly like, get a rope, they don't put the noose at the back of the neck. They put it over to one side, you know, the actual knot. If you want them to strangle for a while, then you put the knot at the back of the at the base of the skull at the back, move it to the side, and it snaps. But some of that may be fancy medical examiner language. Because remember, the dodge for all causes of death is heart failure. At least the way medical science used to understand things. I read, Agnes pointed out a story to me not too long back about medical science reevaluating when and what constitutes death. But it used to be taken as a given that when the heart stops, well, you're going to die. And so if you drill down, every death can be attributed to heart failure. P.S., says Steve, and I wasn't thinking about this, but that's okay. We already ruined dinner in the Eastern time zone. Let's go ahead and take care of it in the Central. I know it's crude, but as I recall, when a male is hanged, he ejaculates. I'm curious to see if that's noted on any autopsy report. Betcha it isn't. Breathe, Epstein, breathe! I'll simply say that when you have neo-Nazi infiltration in your fire department and your police department, you have a bigger problem than you know. Remember when the guy in Dallas started shooting at cops a couple of years ago? And one of the hero cops who died was found to have white supremacist tattoos all over him? I remember that. What does that say about the news cycle? I mean, let's try, and I realize that there's the speculative aspect to this, but let's try to recreate those. So the guy's dead. Epstein is dead. And this white nationalist member of the fire department of New York, I mean, that seems to be the way the evidence is pointing, who was on the response team, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was dispatch. Dispatch would know the details too, wouldn't they? Probably be sitting right there in front of a computer as well. They're clacking away into 4chan while everybody else, except for a very few people, is in the dark. It would be interesting to find out the chain of events whereby ABC News picked it up. When you got Nazis in your public safety structure, your public isn't very safe. So, like I said, we're well into the second hour of the program. Thank you to Ralphs for putting down the first $10 on Larry from Liberalville's challenge. We need 9 more at $10 or one at 90 or two at 45 and all that ciphering that you hate to hear me do. By the way, Eileen, responding to the question of the evening from Larry in Liberalville, I noticed Trump's hair became much more yellow and his skin got more orange. Don't you think? Maybe he got his paints mixed up? Amway tan in a can. Maybe it comes in multiple colors. What else? Because the funny thing is, when you miss a program like I did last night, you got things lined up, and then the next day happens, and shit goes sideways. Hey, let's go to Arizona. Arizona. Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. For four terms, he was in the Arizona State Senate. Gave an interview to the Kingman Daily Miner. Speaking as Mojave County Supervisor, one presumes. He declared that, and I'll need some research from the Ad Hoc Horn Research Department Gay Subdivision. In speaking to the Kingman Daily Miner, maggot Ron Gould, who is actually the Mojave County Supervisor, you know, has a job being paid by the people of Mojave County, and probably then you think about grants and things like that, that the people of the larger state of Arizona, and maybe even we the people of the United States. And in that interview, he declared, gay men have an average life expectancy of 42. Really, Ron? You dumbass, 42? The most recognized two-digit number culturally this side of 69? What's the answer to life, the universe, and everything? 42. Level 42. Gay men have an average life expectancy of 42. That's why they die. Because they're gay. We all have our sins, but we should try to suppress them. Alcohol's harmful too, but we don't see groups promoting alcoholism. I guess fuckwit hasn't turned on a TV lately. Ever since those the bans on advertising liquor have gone away, there's an advertisement for alcoholism on just about every channel after, 9 p.m. Maybe 10. Tequila, bourbon, cognac, various and sundry hipster liqueurs. We don't see groups promoting alcoholism. What do you think fucking Seagram's is? What do you think Anheuser-Busch InBev is? I mean, come on. I'm the last guy in the world that's going to tell anybody not to have a drink. Not my business. But there's no way that you're an executive at, say, Seagram's, and you're not, and you don't know that there are people out there drinking it through a straw. A lot. I don't care how many please drink responsibly banners they put under their ads. There just aren't a hell of a lot of people who sit down and say, well, I'm going to have one little snifter of old panther piss, and that'll be it for me. But, no, Ron Gould thinks gay people die at 42. I'm pretty sure we've got some gay members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who are older than 42. But the problem began because he's at the head of county administration in Mojave County, Arizona. And one of his subordinates is a woman named LaWanna Gillette. She's on the Zoning and Development Board, appointed by Gould. And only Ron Gould can remove her. I thought the West was all about referendum and recall. But anyway, LaWanna Gillette couldn't help herself and had to run over to Facebook to post the following. We have a country that is turning brown, which means that in no time at all, white people will be in the minority. We must stop the minorities from coming here and trying to change us. If you drive through Arvin, California, you'd think you're in Mexico. All the signs in Mexican? We'd better wake up before we lose America for our children and grandchildren. Shh, LaWanna. Ma'am. California was settled out of Mexico. I mean, there's a reason. All those Spanish names. I mean, San Diego isn't named San Diego because it's fucking Sandy, LaWanna. And Colorado ain't exactly an English name. Neither is Nevada. Kind of willing to bet Arizona's not either. New Mexico? All the signs in Mexican. Don't tell those internet researchers down at Clemson University that I'm doing this story, or they may think I'm a Russian troll. Trust me, I ain't. I mean, if I was, maybe I'd be over there swanning around Mother Russia with Mike Huxterby and Mrs. Huxterby and Rick Bro-Fromick Santorum and his little fetus-fondling wife. Because they are. Former Arkansas governor, former failed presidential candidate, pastor, brother, minister, diabetes cure, snake oil salesman Mike Huxterby even posted a picture of himself in Mother Russia, saying, I was going to ride bare-chested on a horse into town, but I didn't want to shock the women. That guy's about as funny as a dose of the clap. And really? Making a reference to riding into town on a beast of burden? Like Jesus? Not very well played there, Mike. But God, we can sure see why Sarah turned out the way she did. So when people went to Ron Gould and complained about LaWanna Gillette, his response was to say, I'm not concerned about LaWanna shooting up a Walmart. Ron Gould, meanwhile, when he was in the state senate of Arizona, went to great lengths to introduce a ballot measure adding a ban on same-sex marriage to the Arizona Constitution. Because, you know, Ron Gould could hardly sleep at night for thinking about all of those hot, hunky, sweaty Arizona gay men out there having all their hot, sweaty Arizona gay sex. And then he'd have to get up and go take a shower. and wash really, really fast. By the way, this is obscure, but good. James in Illinois. Kenny Boy Lay is dead, too. Wonder how soon they'll incinerate him so he can spread his own ashes in Paraguay. There's young girls in South America, too. Steve in New York. Signs in Mexican. Next thing you know, they'll be in British or Canadian. Yes, I know. Steve adding 42 years. Bob, this number has origins in the research of a person named Dr. Paul Cameron. He's on a brain cell I tried to kill. Cameron looked at obituaries and claimed that he could estimate the average life expectancy of gay men by averaging the ages in the obituaries. By the way, says Steve, I'm 48. Winning! God, these fuckwits. Steve adds, you're clearly not a Russian troll. You're a Russian hobbit. Har, har, har. I ain't no hobbit. I come from fine Numenorean stock. Lay that shit at my doorstep. America turning brown, asks Megan. Why are people like LaWanna worried about brown and red people taking over America when she most likely voted for President Orange Anus, who's doing his damnedest to turn America into a theocratic fascist dictatorship and a vassal state of Russia? Well, all of that is entirely true. But you get the idea just over the, just from the news that came out over the weekend. That this administration senses that its days may be numbered. Because at the same time that it came out with new plans to shit a little harder on immigrants, they also came out with a plan to fuck endangered species. Ken Cuccinelli, known by his mob nickname Da Cooch, right-wing freak from Virginia, maggot, declared yesterday that we would be imposing means testing of a sort of brutal nature on immigrants to this country, and that we would henceforward use as a reason not to let people have permanent resident status the fact that maybe someday in the future, possibly, kind of, sort of, iffy, we can't be entirely sure, they might avail themselves of public assistance. Oh, really? Now, right-wingers hate the idea of hate crimes legislation. Oh, you're judging somebody for their thoughts. That's a thought crime. Because, well, they're full of hate. On the other hand, they're perfectly willing to speculate as to whether somebody from Guatemala or Paraguay or Nigeria, Kenya, might someday need access to EBT, food stamps. Oh, sorry, you can't stay in America. You might want to eat some, you might want to partake of our liberal and generous $1 a day food stamp program. And then where will the rest of us be when we need to go and get the 25-cent packets of ramen? Huh? Where will we be? Yeah, they did that. Never a dull damn moment, is there? Okay, I don't know why. That's interesting. I don't know why this is happening the way it is. I've got a phone call coming in on the wrong damn phone. Hold on here. That was just weird. All right, we'll try this again. Give me a second. Sorry for the dead air. This was a tech problem. I did not anticipate would arise. And now has. Hold on. Where do I need to go? Hang on there. Well, the good part of this is that we will get to do a little teching here and see how things work. But no, just before I go to the phones, just a couple of things to observe. They did. They went after the Trump regime is going after the Endangered Species Act because, you know, we've got too many bald eagles, too many grizzly bears, too many wolves, and it, right. Too many humpback whales, too many peregrine falcons, too many manatees, too many, yeah. 99% success rate of the Endangered Species Act. Well, as of yesterday, the Trump regime announced that it's going after the aforementioned grizzly bears, humpback whales, and yeah. And he's doing it for the benefit of the oil industry. According to the New York Times yesterday, Trump wants to change the way the Endangered Species Act is applied, significantly weakening the nation's bedrock conservation law. Clearing the way for new mining, oil and gas drilling, and development in areas where protected species live. The new rules making it harder to consider the effects of climate change on wildlife when deciding whether a given species warrants protection. They would most likely shrink critical habitats and, for the first time, allow economic factors to be taken into account when making determination. Because under the Endangered Species Act, you don't get to say, but what about the poor oil executives or the poor mountaintop removal executives? Over at one of my favorite organizations that speaks up for life on planet Earth, Earth Justice, Drew Caputo, who is the vice president of litigation for Lands, Wildlife, and Oceans, said This effort to gut protections for endangered and threatened species has the same two features of most Trump administration actions. It's a gift to industry, and it's illegal. We'll see the Trump administration in court about it. God, I hope that my best to Earth Justice. What a fine organization they are. That's true. Going back to the whole booze thing, Bill in PA says, please drink responsibly. Why don't we have please eat responsibly signs at picnics? Food fascist. Yeah. All right, so let's do a little technical checking here and find out if Scott really is on the stress line. Are you there, Scott?
Well, I called in on the Skype line, so I don't know.
You're on Skype?
Yeah, that's what I called in on.
Son of a gun. How about that?
You done crossed up your wires, Bob.
Well, you should have come in on the Skype account over here on live and learn, I always say.
I wondered about that because when you picked up and put me on musical hold without the music, I noticed it was a little muddy, but I didn't even consider that it was because the sound quality is a little different on the stress line.
Right, because it's an actual cell phone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all right. I wonder what would happen if I called the stress line.
Nothing, because I disconnected the stress line to get you.
Oh. Well, that answers
because
that.
You came in on a different phone.
You know, I wondered about that. You know, because you always forget something when you do a tear down and rebuild. There's always some crazy thing that you did. It wasn't on your checklist. And
well, no. This is entirely kind of what I expected, because, I mean, it is, but it isn't. I didn't realize that on this phone, Skype was still enabled, so it rang on that phone. For instance, if we were to hang up,
yeah,
and I turn this phone off, you should come in on the Skype account on... And people are going, oh fuck, he's teching during the show. Jesus, doesn't it? But yeah.
Well, so, you want to try it? I don't. You know, I live to serve. You know that.
Well, let's do because I would like to have the stress line available to me.
Okay.
All right.
What should I do if I don't come back anywhere? Just call back on the Skype or
no? You're going to call back in on Skype, or the stress. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to hang up with you.
Okay.
And you got to give me enough time to shut this phone down. And then to repair, the other phone that's the stress line. You with me?
Okay. Yeah, so what, about a minute? Minute and a half? Or?
Yeah, two.
Okay.
All right, later.
All right, see ya.
You know, we needed to do this anyway, and some of this is kind of hard to do without someone cooperating. It just don't, you know. All right. Unpair. Okay. And back. Yes. And connect. Oh, it is. Don't start with me. Come on, while I'm young. Sorry. Oh, this is fun, isn't it? See, you see, in big time, well funded broadcasting, you've got an engineering department that takes care of all this shit. But we're not that, and we don't have one of those. Okay, so the stress line isn't going to pair, but if Scott calls back, then it should come through on Skype. Sometimes, you know, these things happen. And see, there's Scott, who is now coming through on that line.
Okay. Did it work?
Yeah. You're on a different machine now.
Oh. I wondered what that tingly sensation was. that massive burst of electrons.
Ooh, what was that?
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me plug in my little other earpiece here so I can hear you. Ain't technology wonderful?
Oh, this is actually the front end of some big changes happening here in the studio, and yeah. I'm looking forward to them.
Are they good big changes?
They really are.
Oh, good.
There could be any number of things happen as a result.
Oh. Well, I hope they're all good and wonderful and will expand the reach and impact of the program.
I do too. I mean, I've got a couple of tech issues to solve, but I don't think they're insurmountable.
Famous last words.
Yeah, don't help.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you're talking about the distinction between, the horn penny whistle operation in West by Cole, Virginia, West Virginia, and real time, you know, big time radio and television. And you said there's tech support and
engineering. You worked in radio stations. You know what the engineer looked like.
And in the major markets, I think low and to this very day, they're either NABET or IBEW, and that when it's time for their break, they take their break, and you can't give them any guff, you know?
Right.
Those union engineers.
I don't care if Mother Russia's missiles are flying. I'm on break, motherfucker.
That's right. There you go. Did I ever tell you the story of when I got locked out of a radio station?
No. I have to admit now I'm anxious.
Well, this one, you're anxious. How do you think I felt? Okay, I was doing my my Sunday morning, what was it, 7 a.m. until 11, I guess, or 10, 7 to 10 or 7 to 11, on the lovely KMBZ AM in Kansas City, but then was owned and operated by Bonneville, a big radio company, TV company, and you may as well say it was owned by the Mormons, okay? So they didn't allow smoking in the studio, okay? But during the NBC News on the hour, you could go out into the parking lot and smoke. Well, the artist's entrance to the station, where all the DJs on AM and FM would come in, it didn't have a key where you put the key in the doorknob and turn it and pull the door and you're in. It didn't have a numeric keypad that you would punch in a 4-digit PIN to get into the door. No. These people,
of course not.
Had these people, it was a vertical line of, I think, either 4 or 6 buttons, you know, one on top of the other. And
yeah,
you had to punch in a certain sequence in order to trick the Yeah, basically. And I could never remember the series of button presses, the order of worship, to cause the door to open. So back then, NBC News on the Hour only ran, I guess, 5 minutes or maybe six, including the spots and stuff. So I knew that News on the Hour, I run out into the parking lot, smoke me a Territon 100, hit the buttons, and run back in before the news was finished. Only this Sunday, I left my card key. I had a laminated card that I had printed up with the proper sequence of keystrokes.
D-O-E-O-P-E, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, I get out there, and I'm leisurely, as leisurely as it could be in 5 or 6 minutes, having my Territon 100, and I reach back to my wallet to pull out my laminated card, and what do you know? The card is on the console in the AM studio. Now, this is a soundproof facility, because it's a radio station. The only other human being No, listen, it gets better. The only other human being in the building was on the FM side, down the hall and behind...
In a windowless room.
Yeah, soundproof doors, you know, the whole schmear. So, you know, I'm looking at the sweep secondhand on my Bugs Bunny watch, and what do I see but, you know, 5 past, 5:30 past, 5:45 past...
Fired.
6 minutes past... And then the NBC closed circuit feed begins that the listeners don't normally hear. This is for broadcast use only, for
affiliates. We have the following actualities for you. 10 seconds, Ronald Reagan says ketchup is a vegetable. Yes.
Bingo. Okay. So the bye-bye tone for the network plays, and then an appropriate amount of silence.
Boom,
and then
boom,
the guy... You know, reading off his list of actuality
I used to do
cuts.
That news feed at CNN Radio.
Well, there you go. You know how that works.
Yep.
But see, I'm out in the parking lot, Bob.
Well, yes,
I'm
you
banging.
Are. Let's go to Scott banging. In the parking lot. Bob, there's a lot going on down here.
Yes. Bring the kids. But so I'm banging on the door. Well, apparently one of my many, you know, scores of listeners, after about 2 minutes of dead air... After the NBC actuality show ended, I'm thinking, well, the poor bastard has dropped dead. Something's happened, and we need to let someone know. And I'm sure they called FM, which was easy listening. What was that station? I don't know. It was like beautiful.
Oh, I know, music. I know. It was not nonstop Ferrante and Teicher.
Yeah, or the 101 strings, or Montavani.
Montavani, yeah, and the Raycon of singers.
And now Montavani with a lovely rendition of Having Your
Having
Baby.
Having My Baby, yes.
on KMBM, or whatever it was. It was beautiful music, some kind of stuff. Well, anyway, finally, about after a few minutes... The lady over at FM apparently got the SOS, the flare. She saw the flare being shot up over the horizon and came in and let a sheepish, yours truly, come skulking back into the building. But, God, I mean, the stories, Bob.
Oh, I know.
There's no end to it.
I know.
No end to it. But I don't even know.
God, live radio.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know what. See, now you know me. You've known me long enough, I guess, to know that when it comes to conspiracies or deep dives into the intricacies of deaths of public people, especially politicians or politician connected people.
You mean like when they found Nelson Rockefeller with his shoes on backwards?
Well, was that when, what was that woman's name? Megan Marchank?
Yeah.
The woman.
Yeah, he came and went at the same time, and she managed to drag him over to the old Chesterfield and stick a pipe in his mouth and got his robe on him and then put his slippers on the wrong feet.
Do you know what Megan, whatever her name was, with Rocky and Prudential Life Insurance have in common? No, you know what Nelson Rockefeller and Megan, what's her name, have in common?
They both got a piece of the rock.
Yeah, yeah. Ba-dum-bump. Don't even give that a cowbell. That was not worthy of me. God, you know, and the weird thing is, you talk about politics of that era. The other night, nothing at all on my limited TV universe. So that's when I fire up the YouTube app on my Roku. And I found 5.5 hours of the Republican National Convention in Kansas City, speaking of Kansas City, live and direct from Kemper Arena from 1976. So I fired that puppy up. Oh, Walter Klondike and the CBS team of Eric Severide, Dan Rather, Roger Mudd, Morton Dean, you know, and the whole smear of CBS correspondents of that era. And it was Carter was president. No, Carter wasn't president. Carter was going to become president. Jerry Ford had been
my fellow Americans.
Our long national nightmare is over. Yeah, right. Little did we know, Bob.
Oh, and this morning, I guess he can't help him. It's like he's got Reagan Tourette's. I happened to wake up early, so I caught the cold opening to Morning Joe, and didn't take too long before he was doing some fucking panegyric of Ronald Reagan, and it just hit me at that moment. God damn it. It was almost 39 years to the day that Ronald Reagan opened his presidential campaign in 1980 in Philadelphia, Neshoba County, Mississippi, with the "Hi, yeah. Klansman, I'm your guy" speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't it funny how time slips away?
Well, ain't it funny how, you know, and that story was all over the place. We ran the audio here on the program of, you know, Reagan, and it's not like Nixon was punking him by saying, no, come on, Ronnie, tell me more about what you think about the Negroes. Ronnie was talking to Nixon, and he was the one volunteering the information about those monkeys who weren't even used to wearing shoes yet from the African nations at the UN. I guess it just can't get through that once a Republican, always a Republican hide of Joe Scarborough's.
It's the Jews, Henry, the Jews. I don't know.
You're absolutely right, Mr. President, and that's okay. Our Lord and Savior's going to gig them like frogs when he comes back the second time and they don't acknowledge that he's the Savior.
Has Trump, we're getting back to Epstein, where I was going was, when it comes to the mysterious deaths of prominent people, I'm your guy, especially that has to do with the JFK deal. But has Trump mentioned word one about Epstein's passing?
I don't think so.
Did he just send a postcard congratulating him for a job well done down in Portugal? You know, because RIP, in the case of Epstein, means rest in Portugal. That's where the bad boy probably is.
Wait a minute. Okay, for that, you get a cowbell. No, it's rest in it's rest in Paraguay.
Or Paraguay, maybe. Yeah, that'd be even better. But I don't think I've heard any mention of public utterance from Trump about the untimely passing of Jeffrey Epstein.
Cut off in his prime. When he should have been cut off years ago.
Now, I don't mean.
Where's Lorena Bobbitt when you need her?
Is there?
Wow, that was obscure. There's not a millennial out there who got that.
Yeah. Well, you remember the police who were the story of Lorena Bobbitt was, she did her knife work, her Ginsu trick. On Mr. Bobbitt's little
Bobbitt. Wang,
and got in the car and drove off
and threw it out the window.
threw it out the window and hit the windshield. And one of the cops said, "Man, do you see the size of the cock on that bug?" But
anyway, wait, that's two. By the way, you got a little fan mail.
Yeah.
Kyle just wrote in and said, "Ha ha ha! Thanks for the laughs, Scott. In these times, we need dumb, silly stories like that just to momentarily escape from and maybe forget the dystopian hell we're living through."
God knows that's right. Amen. But I want to get back to whoever wrote in to talk about a phenomenon with men who hang themselves.
Yeah, that was Steve.
Now, do we have scientific data on that a man will ejaculate at the moment of death when he hangs himself?
I think Steve phrased that as an "I've always heard." I've heard it too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's weird things that happen with the male reproductive system. I mean,
tell me, Bob.
All right. Tell me. All right. Man, we've run the trifecta tonight. Now we're about to fuck dinner in the mountain and Pacific time zones. I forget who the lawyer was, but you know, the lawyers have some damn good stories. They have to observe the rules of confidentiality, and they can't breach confidence. But they can lawyers have stories.
And emergency room personnel interesting stories.
Light bulbs. Yes, that's all you got to do. Light bulbs.
Yeah.
And so I've heard the story before about what Steve mentioned, but one lawyer I knew was telling a story about he was a serial killer and a rapist, and it came down to dude got off while he was doing his vicious criminal stuff.
And you don't mean he was exonerated or acquitted, got off. You mean he got off.
Thanks for helping. Yes. No, I wasn't really trying to drive that nail, but it, you know, you countersunk it, you fucker.
Proceed.
Oh, no, I think that's pretty much the story, but yeah. So, you know, human male physiology can be weird. I mean, I think when Mama always said, make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you're in a wreck. Well, you know, at death, people's systems shut down and, you know, the things that we had control over, we no longer had control over. So I reckon Mama wanted to make sure that, you know, if you were in a wreck or anything, that, you know, everybody knew that you did that to yourself right then and there, and that she did not send you out in soiled underpants.
Yeah, because the bowels evacuate, to use technical language. Isn't that pretty much?
Pretty sure the bladder lets go too.
You know,
that can happen, and not being dead and all.
Yeah, you can get on a boat and sail to Hawaii, Japan, and into the interior of China, and there would be people not having dinner.
I was going to say you could go to all those places, and this shit ain't allowed on their radios.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
That's the other thing. So it was endangered species, immigrants, and, you know, us yesterday out of the big, like I said, it's like they know they're running out of time. And so they're fucking extra fast and extra hard because I forget which outlet it was, but they got hold of a draft memo of Nitwit Nero wanting to censor the interweb tubes.
Oh, dear.
That's his latest little turn on. And particularly, and this is weird because, I mean, I do, I participate in social media, and I've mentioned on the program over the last month or so that I've seen a distinct uptick in weird ass fundy Christians that I don't follow and I don't interact with them, and all of a sudden they're showing up in my feed, and it's just pure filth. And it's always something outrageous. It's not, you know, it's not just the fact that it's a Christian. It's outrageously so. In fact, I found one earlier today. I've got an example of it. Hold on here. Here's one. This comes from, and this has got to be a Russian troll because this name. He describes himself as Christian minister. I support individual rights, freedoms for all people, and the benefits of free will, voluntary collective sacrifice, and organized democracy. Well, there's not a fundamentalist Christian in the United States that's capable of writing that sentence. And he gives as his name John Keister.
Traditional spelling, or?
K-E-I-S-T-E-R.
There you go.
And what showed up in my feed was Heather Heyer was a fascist hypocrite who went to Charlottesville looking for a fight just like the ones daily at Jerry Springer or the cowardly 10-on-1 assaults which Antifa riot mobs instigate, and trouble found her dead instead.
Now, well, the laugh is on Pastor Keister, Bob, because Jerry Springer I don't think is on TV anymore.
Well, not just that, but of course Heather Heyer was not a right-wing fascist. The right-wing fascists were who killed her.
Yeah.
And the guy's now doing life in prison. What's the line from Mother Tried?
Oh, God.
Doing life without
Mama
parole.
Mama Tried.
Yeah, Mama tried to make me better, but her teachings I denied. This is so obviously disinformation, but it's coming in on my feed when I don't have anything remotely resembling what an algorithm would identify as me wanting to see that.
Well, is it showing up as an ad? Now, are you talking about on Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Oh, see, I don't use Twitter. I never could get the hang of it, so I said I'll just stick with Facebook.
Well, I like the challenge of 280 characters. It's like writing haiku. But it's not an ad. It's just showing up in my feed for no reason whatsoever. And I suspect part of it is because Nitwit Nero has been shrieking, and the other maggots in Congress have been shrieking about shadow banning. They're shadow banning conservative voices on the intertwitters.
Now, what the hell is shadow banning?
Well, shadow banning is this weird little fantasy that occurs inside the thin gray settlings that slosh around between right-wing ears and pass for brains, yeah. Whereby they say, you know, you haven't banned me from Twitter. You're just not letting people see my shit.
Well, that's called blocking.
No, blocking is something an individual user can do.
Oh, this is something that the carrier, so to speak, is doing.
They say Twitter is doing, and it's not. And yeah. In fact, it's the exact opposite. I'm getting stuff in my feed that I never wanted to see. You see? You understand?
Yeah, I do. And see, that's one of the reasons I prefer Facebook to Twitter, because, first of all, I don't know if you can do this on Twitter, or even if there would be a point in doing it, or if it defeats the purpose. I like that my Facebook feed is friends only. It didn't used to be that way, and back then I used to get all manner of madness popping up on my feed, and I didn't, you know, life is too short to fuck with that stuff. I don't want to mess with it. And it isn't just me preaching to the choir by having my Facebook be friends only, okay? I just, you know, it's bad enough dealing with the onslaught of ads on Facebook. I mean, just commercial type ads, not political ads. None of which, I've been on Facebook like 8 years now, and I don't think over that span of time I've had more than 3 or 4 ads show up on my feed that were even remotely relevant. I have never, I don't know who they expect to reach or what the clients are thinking that they're getting for their advertising dollar spent, but they're pissing their money away on me. When it comes to, I mean, the ads are just stupid. Not even scammy. They're just stupid. For stuff that I'd never use in a million years. Sorry, I didn't mean to do my old man rant.
Oh, no, that's okay. but it's weird that the exact opposite thing is happening that the right wing is complaining about.
Oh, shadow ban. Well, it's like deep state. Now, I understand what they mean by deep state. But this kind of popped up just in the last 8, 10, 12 years, this terminology. And they're constantly throwing this shit out for the rubes and the knuckle breathers and mouthwalkers to gobble up. It's just horrendously insane that we've gotten to this point. Nobody knows anything. Even people who know a little something, that knowledge doesn't go very deep. You know, and it's troubling.
Well, Suman just checked in with kind of an explainer about that Twitter account. In Twitter, even if you don't follow conservative stuff, you will still see their nonsense. In the past couple of weeks, did you go to any conservative maggot websites at all? Answer, no. The cookies and other tracking algorithms will follow you across websites and to Twitter. The algorithm may take a day or two to kick in. And I understand that, but I don't go there. I have no interest in it. I don't think I've ever been to that website that rhymes with light and fart.
Yeah, me neither.
I
may have looked at it when old Andrew dropped dead a few years back, but that was
ding
the
dong.
Of
the
my...
prick is dead. The prick is dead. The wicked old prick. The wicked prick. Ding dong. The wicked prick is dead. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have not been calling in a whole lot lately, but you know, I do my TV viewing tips.
Yeah.
From time to time. And there's a program, I guess it was on Netflix, a documentary, I think it's called The Great Hack. Have you seen that?
I have not. Agnes said she wanted us to watch it.
It's not bad. As a primer, as far as...
I thought it was a biopic about Mike Barnacle. Oh, sorry.
No, you thought it was about massive hairballs being tossed up by kitty cats.
Yeah. I tell you what, you're doubling down on the Pacific time zone dinner, aren't you?
Well, listen, I'm going to have pasta with...
You're going to have penne alla rabbiata with the Moscow marinara?
No, I don't do me no Moscow marinara. Thank you very much. No, I made up a batch of spaghetti last night, or as they say in current terminology, pasta with tomatoes.
Ugh, pasta. That's another thing. God, we're like a morning zoo crew at night, you and me. Little thing. And when it reaches Fayetteville, West Virginia, you know it's become a thing, and it's probably on the way out. This thing where instead of referring to you're in a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And let's say you're having the handmade cheese ravioli with non-Moscow marinara, and the menu will say, add a protein. It's like the word meat has disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, add a protein. Chicken, beef.
Have that with pork.
Yeah. Do you want it with chicken, beef, or pork? What's your protein?
Jesus.
Now, I guess if you wanted to add in, like, tofu or something, I guess that would keep you from using the word meat, but, you know, add in meat or tofu.
You know, that...
You
that,
can have it with a protein.
Unadorned tofu, you can caulk windows with that. Did you know that, Bob?
Oh, yes.
If you live in a
cabin. You know what? I get the extra firm tofu sometimes, and I press it, because you got to get the extra water out if you're going to do this.
Yeah.
And then I slice it, and I grill it. Because once you've added those lovely grill marks, that tofu tastes exactly like nothing.
Yeah.
I like to put it on a Quaker oat cake for that added boost of nothingness.
It's like ramen without the little packet of stuff being sprinkled into it.
Which reminds me, because we've had an ongoing conversation about grits on this program, Scott.
Oh, yes.
I found out recently, of course I can't get it in West Virginia, because why would you send this flavor to West Virginia? Quaker makes an instant grits, and yes, we do use them because they're handy and quick and get the job done sometimes. They're not horrible. It ain't artisanal, but it's good.
They're not horrible, really.
So I can get like the bacon flavored, and I can get the cheese and the butter, and I avoid all of those. But I saw one that sort of intrigued me. Naturally, it is not to be had in the state of West Virginia. Quaker Instant Grits Ham and Red Eye Gravy Flavor.
Oh, baby. I'm going to look for that on my grocer's shelf to see if they have it.
Well, it is nowhere to be found here, and I was even curious enough. I went over to Amazon and had a look. But a box of grits is $2.50, $3 tops, instant grits in the grocery store.
There's like 8 individual 12. Serving packets for 12. Oh, that's even better.
And Amazon Prime was happy to bring me a box of those ham and red eye gravy instant grits for $10.
For a single box?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, for $10, I'd expect an eighth of a pallet's worth of them.
That's just going to be a flavor of instant grits. I'm not going to know.
Well, if they're $3.50, $4 in the store, does that $10 include shipping?
Yeah, well, that's Amazon Prime. That's it gets to you in 2 to 3 days.
Oh, hell. Well, I'll go in on a box with you, Bob.
Yeah, but then I got to take it apart and ship it out to you.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, isn't that intriguing, ham and red eye gravy flavor?
Well, you would think that that would be, I don't know if they keep track. Well, I guess Amazon keeps track of everything. Why not? I had to hit my cough switch, Bob.
Good for you. Well, thank you for being so courteous to the listening public. But, I'm intrigued because I know what red eye gravy is.
Oh, yeah.
Red eye gravy is what you get when you deglaze the ham bits and drippings from the bottom of an iron skillet with leftover coffee.
Yeah. It's an interesting taste sensation.
Yeah. So how do you replicate that? I mean, it's kind of like the potato chip flavorings. You know, the years ago, the Greek town Euro Lay's potato chips that tasted more like and smelled like garbage strike in the summer.
Some of the combinations were like horseradish and toothpaste flavored Lay's.
Yeah. Orange juice and toothpaste is my particular favorite.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But I will look, and it's Quaker. I'll look for that in my grocery store. I've got to go down.
Well, I'm just curious who gets them, because ham and red eye gravy, I mean, you'd think that would fly off the shelves in West Virginia.
What's the big supermarket there, the chain grocery store?
We got Kroger, we got Food Lion, we got Walmart.
Well, get on the phone to corporate office of Kroger in Cincinnati and say,
"Oh no, 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 no! I did that once. I'll never do it again." No, because I called them in my "We Must Have Kaneka in West Virginia" campaign, and they said, "Well, if we can't get it in our Roanoke warehouse, I'm afraid we can't get it to you, Mr. Bub."
Yeah, they probably do have those regional.
But where do they like red eye gravy better than we'd like it here?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, that you would think that. Well, what I was going to say is they keep. I'm sure the Amazon and Quaker and all the companies where you can order stuff keep track of what is flying off the shelves and what isn't.
Oh, no, no, they have a specific computer tracking program for me. Because if I go to the grocery store and I buy something a lot, they will stop getting it in.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they'll stock it for you.
No!
I've noticed this with Ralph's. You know, they mail me coupons, physical coupons, every other month. And then every week there are new digital coupons that use that little card that's attached to your key ring at checkout time. The last time I've checked, thus far this year, I've saved on stuff that I would ordinarily buy something like $110, which over, 8 months is, I mean, in today's economy, and it's going to get worse, friends, mark my words, you know, every little bit helps.
Are you
getting
ready to segue into the bucket pudding pitch?
No, I'm not going to talk about bucket pudding, Bob. Jeez. But what I'm saying is that these companies, they know what you're buying, especially if you use.
Yeah, they know. That's the thing, though. They know what you're buying, but they don't know what you want. And there's a big damn difference.
Well, that describes my first two marriages, Bob.
All right.
If you're going to get right down to it. What am I on, a three cowbell night? That is pretty damn good for a Tuesday.
It's a three bell night, yeah. By the way, I think you can sink your teeth into this one. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Query: with all the incendiary things Trump writes on a daily basis, why hasn't Twitter banned him or at least shut his account down for a time? Because some court ruled his tweets are of record and subject to preservation. Is Twitter legally barred from shutting him down? Outside of the free press it gives Twitter, they can certainly shut him down proactively, right? I'm looking for a friend. I can see Trump's inability to spew on Twitter driving him more mad than he already is. Of course, so much of the news and late night depend on his insane tweets. Precisely.
Yeah.
If you or I or anyone else tweeted the filthy shit that he tweets, we would be booted off Twitter forever. Carol Baker got banned off of Twitter for retweeting something that I tweeted. And it wasn't even mean. It was that line about Bob Ewell falling on his knife 37 times. Ding, banned. You violated our community standards.
V for violence, probably. It's gotten
advocating
so crazy.
Self-harm.
It's gotten so crazy. I mean, never mind it comes from literature, okay? Probably one of the most favorite novels of modern time in America, or maybe the world. Isn't that To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah, right. Because Sheriff Heck Tate was not going to torment poor Boo Radley by putting him through the trouble of a trial. Damn it! Okay, I was about to ask the Horn Family Community Congregation to do some ad hoc research. David in South Carolina, Stan, can pick up Quaker Instant Grits ham and red eye gravy flavor at his local Wally World. I looked on the app for my local Wally World, and no, hillbilly, you can't have it.
I forget whether you have. Do you have Big Lots out there? They usually have obscure stuff.
Well, no, Big Lots only gets the stuff that didn't sell.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you would presume this stuff would sell.
Let me.
Well,
check.
I got to go to Ralph's tonight. I'm going to add that to the list because this is the wrong time of year for grapes.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, you get a little price break if you buy like 12 cartons for $30.
Holy fuck.
But the thing is, because, you know, like Greek Town Euro potato chips, it may just smell like a garbage strike in the summer, and I ain't even going to eat the whole box.
Yeah.
Or it could be yummy.
Well, here's something I didn't know, and I forget where I know it from, but apparently in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, when network radio newscasts would emanate from, let's say the newscast itself came from Washington, the announcer who would do the intro, the network would break off part of it. In other words, if you were in certain parts of the country, you'd get an ad for cold cereal in the winter. But if you were in other parts of the country, you'd get an ad for hot cereal. And then after the minute break was up, they would go on with the news out to the full network. I had no idea that even back then they used to do that. You get what I'm saying, or am I too obscure?
No, I get it. I get it. And by the way, Kyle says, well, I know what I'm looking for tomorrow. Damn you, Kyle, if you can get them where you are and I can't. Damn, ham and gravy grits sound fucking good. Now I feel like I've been cheating myself all this time by eating the butter-flavored ones. Ah, those butter-flavored... That butter-flavor is made with petroleum byproducts. Meanwhile, on the issue of protein at restaurants, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, Bob, tell them beans or some kind of nuts or, you know, can I have insects?
Throw a couple crickets on there.
Yeah, go get me a couple of night crawlers and just put them in there. I'll chase them with my fork. A couple of woolly worms,
actually,
maybe.
Crickets and grasshoppers, fried.
Fried grasshoppers are a delicacy in Mexico. I watched Tony Bourdain eat them. Yes. But see, once in 10th grade, they made us. They made us dissect a giant grasshopper. That was before we were allowed to try. Yeah, that was before we were allowed to try our scalpels out on a frog.
I never did a grasshopper.
I named my frog in 10th grade biology. I named him Bill. And little would I know.
My frog, Bill.
I mean, I recognized him as soon as he was renominated to be the attorney general, but no, they made us dissect a giant South American. First, we did the earthworm, and then we did the grasshopper. This was back when public schools had budgets.
Did you ever do a starfish?
No, but they gave us the grasshopper, and I swear to God, the inside of the grasshopper. I didn't eat a Reese's peanut butter cup for about three years.
Stop it, Bob.
The inside of that grasshopper looked like the inside of a Reese's cup, I swear.
Well,
and I was done.
Reese's off the list.
We were having Emery, we were going to have Reese's cup ice cream for dessert, but we can't now that Bob done fucked them up, too.
Well, Chips Ahoy has a soft and chewy cookie.
Oh, is that what the starfish looks like?
No. Chips Ahoy has the Reese's peanut butter bits along with the chocolate chips. And those fuckers are addictive, Bob.
They sell the mini Reese's in what I lovingly refer to when I bring them home to my darling wife as a 50-pound bag.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's the bar. Yeah, I mean, I can feel the interior musculature of my stomach pulling a little bit when I reach up on the shelf and, you know, get it up off that high shelf at the grill, and it kind of goes, into the buggy.
Speaking of peanut butter, you know what's good? Are those little?
You know, it looks like the insides of a grasshopper, Scott.
Those little pretzel nuggets with the big chunks of salt and the peanut butter filling are awfully good because it's a combination of sweet and salty. because that's what we're wired to enjoy. And you got your sweet stuff, and you got your salty stuff.
Well, Darcy said, I'm sticking with Butterfingers, Bob, laughing.
Yeah.
Well, kind of looked like the inside of one of those, too, but not as crispy.
Well, that would be what you call your petrified grasshopper,
that's your giant grasshopper just out of the frying fat. That's what that is.
All right. God, have we degraded the thing to this point? We were talking about
and to think we dare think this is a serious radio program. I know.
Well, it is a serious program. I can't help. You can't help it. I can't help it if we touch upon a number of different things. I think it's therapeutic. Maybe. I mean.
No, trust me. If people are giggling, it's therapeutic.
Because we've still got 6 months until the primaries.
Oh, Jesus!
And then all of 2020 leading up to November.
Fuck, don't do that to me. Let's go back to talking about grasshoppers like the inside of Reese's Cups, really, please.
And one of the major news outlets is spreading the notion that Bernie's campaign is flailing, like on its last legs or something.
When I was at the grocery store today, I have found a new thing that I'm into because it's a good protein. And that is these little vacuum sealed pouches of flavored tuna. Jalapenos, sriracha, buffalo.
Those are good.
And it's 14, 15 grams of protein, you know. Put it on a cracker, get a little starch and carbs, man. You know, you're good. I'm reaching up there and I'm getting one. I'm getting jalapeno, yeah, lemon pepper, yeah, Thai chili, yeah. And then right next to all that tuna are these little cans that say pork brains, and I stopped and I saluted and I said, Mr. President! No. Hello, chirps. Right there next to the... who knows the ways or workings of how things are put on shelves in grocery store, but it's like... Tuna, 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 tuna. Pork brains.
Pork brains. I was going to say as a public service.
Mad sow disease, you know? No, not gonna.
As a public service, Bob.
In gravy. I can get pork brains in gravy in West Virginia, but can I get instant grits with the red eye? No.
You're not going to let that go, are you, Bob?
I'm pissed.
I know you are. I know you are. You're articulating the popular rage about things that matter. Never mind this crap.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to microwave it anymore.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, and this is a serious public service deal, and I almost found this out the hard way. Apparently, kitty cats do not tolerate anything having to do with citric acid. And one time I got me a couple of pouches of that lemon pepper tuna in the pouch and let Chirps do the lickings afterwards. And even that little teeny bit of exposure, she was acting funny for the better part of a day. I don't know what it does. I read up on it after I watched her get all spacey and stuff, but apparently it will mess them up very quickly. Anything having to do with citric acid mess up your kitty cat. No, I didn't either. I didn't either, and that's it's like there's other things that's like those Christmas plants, the red and with the little
poinsettias. Yeah.
Yeah, they apparently mess up your cat or dog or whatever.
And those, by the way, were discovered by a disciple of Agnes's great grandfather.
Give me that story.
I don't have the particulars, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember when we went, by Jove, and looked at each other knowingly.
Yeah. Gadzooks.
Yes, gadzooks. Definitely gadzooks. How did we get here, Scott?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know, but I've probably talked enough. I'm sure somebody else wants to call in about something.
Well, if somebody wants to try the stress line, I'd kind of like to know if that works.
Okay. It's a good idea.
And that, of course, is 844-843-4676. And, of course, then you got to do the Jim. Then you got to do the Jim Rome thing and say, "Have a take and don't suck." Yeah. Please.
If nothing else, we managed to straighten out the Skype line. So my mission here is accomplished.
I appreciate. Well, and you understand, being an old hand from radio, that that these things have to be worked out.
Oh yes.
Nope,
that's why when I moved into this apartment 2 years ago. And set up my little entertainment corner with the TV and the DVR and all that good stuff. Once it's set up, I don't mess with it, because there's a direct proportion between my messing with it and stuff not working.
Well, in gratitude, I'm trying to give you a round of applause here, but I can't find it yet. There it is.
Ah.
Yes.
Kind of wound it in too.
Yeah.
How many revolutions of the turntable did you turn that puppy back? Is that a 78 record you're using, Bob?
That's a 132.
And what was it? I was watching, and I'll close 78, on
78, 79, whatever it takes.
I was watching a 1957 colorized episode of the original The Price is Right with host Bill Cullen and announcer Don Pardo the other night on YouTube. And one of the prizes up for bids was a 4-speed record changer. Now, most kids today don't know. I mean, they might know 45s, you know, for singles, or 33 and a third for LPs, long play albums. But they have no idea about those other two speeds. Of records. 78, of course, 78 RPM. But what was the other one?
Oh, God.
Do you remember? I remember it was, well, I remember what it was.
16.
But there was a fraction. 16, like 33 and a third. Maybe it was 33 and a third divided by 2. What would that be? Cipher.
Oh, my eyes just rolled back in my head. That hurt.
Well, it'd be 33.33 divided by 2, and then work it into a fraction as opposed to...
All right.
And I don't know shit about math, let me tell you.
33.33.
I can't tell you the summers that were ruined
16.6.
Okay, but what is that in a fraction form?
16 and two-thirds.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. And what would... I don't imagine the fidelity of something spinning at 16 and two-thirds revolutions per minute. What would that be? Talking books? Speeches?
When I was a little kid, there were children's records that were like story time records.
You know... Like golden books,
kinda,
yeah.
But they were on a and I think my sister probably still has them. They were purple and blue and red and yellow.
Yeah, like see-through vinyl.
No, these weren't see-through. These were very much products of the late 40s and early 50s.
Oh no, that wouldn't even be vinyl, really. That would be shellac, lacquer.
Yeah. Easily scratched. All right, Scott, I'm going to roll, and we're going to test the stress line now.
Well, test away, Bob, and it's been a multitude of pleasures to chat with you. And if I find the ham and red-eye gravy grits, I'll send you a box.
Now, don't send the whole box. Just send, like, 2 envelopes. That's 1 bowl.
No, you know you'll want more.
But don't empty. But don't empty the envelopes into the envelope. You mail it in, or you'll have ATF on your porch in a minute.
Oh, I know.
Bob Kincaid received an envelope of grainy white material with little flecks of red and brown in it.
And you know they run it through an odor detector, you know, spectrometer, gizmo.
Well, and that's the other thing. How are you going to replicate country ham? Because you got to have the fatty. salty, salt-cured country ham. And to be quite honest, that stuff can smell a little rank.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I'm worried about the garbage strike in the summertime issue. You
know. Yeah, and which Lays were those? The Euros?
Yeah, the Greek Town Euro.
I remember those. They kind of came and went.
Not nearly fast enough.
Yeah. Well, all right, Bob. Take care.
Yeah, that was a one bag experiment.
Yeah, like the sweet potato and Bermuda onion Lays. I don't think they lasted very long.
Yeah, but the orange juice and toothpaste lingers on. Scott, have a good one.
It do, Bob. Take care.
Later. Bye now.
See ya.
I'll tell you what. When Scott brings his A game, there's no stopping him. Okay, who's on the stress line?
Me, Bob. It's Richard.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Can you? I'm good. I'm in Eastern Tennessee, as you know. And
right.
Talking about food, I think of you when I pass Benton's Smoky Mountain Hams.
You can't be in East Tennessee and not at least try Benton's bacon.
Believe it or not, I have never tried it. I was going to a cardiologist far away, and I drove by them every time. But I'm just back from the Indivisible meeting.
Oh yeah,
here in McMinn County, Tennessee.
How are both of them?
I'm sorry, I couldn't make out what you just
said. I said, how are both of them? That was a joke.
How are those of them?
No, both of them. As in, you know, the other two members of Indivisible besides you in East Tennessee. It's a joke.
Well, yeah, okay. It's been a very confusing experience. I was told about them, actually, by the Democrats in the adjacent county during a health fair. The Democrats had a booth at the health clinic that I go to. And I had already visited the Democrats here in Athens, Tennessee, and they were kind of boring, you know. It turned out that the Democrats had a lot of infighting going on. To the degree that the state Democratic Party was threatening to shut down the McMinn County Party if they didn't get their act together. And meanwhile,
What was wrong with their act, Richard? Were they?
Well, they, because the old guard people were shutting out the progressives. They were pulling parliamentary rules and procedures and pretty much keeping them from participating. So they got all flustered and formed Indivisible, which I didn't know about. I knew nothing about any of this because I just moved here 4 years ago. And I thought I was going to an Indivisible meeting. But in fact, it was mostly the disaffected progressive Democrats who went to the Indivisible to plot what they were going to do to get the, you know, to get back into the party again. So the people had a reorganization meeting, which I attended. A lot of people showed up. Well over 100 people came to this.
Good. That's inspiring, because I was kind of being a little bit of a smartass there, because you know, we say things like, but I know better. I mean, I know a lot of good progressive folks in East Tennessee or new, and so it's not surprising that there were 100 people there.
Well, it's, you know, I'm rural here. I'm halfway between Knoxville and Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, for me, being growing up in New York and living in California for 40 years, the culture here is quite a bit of a shock to me.
I know what your past is, and no one was more surprised than I when I found out you decided to decamp to East Tennessee. That just that stunned me, because I knew there would be culture shock involved.
Well, there is. I mean, you know, the Argentine poet Borges once made a joke about the Falklands War, and he said, Argentina and Britain fighting over the Falklands was like two bald men fighting over a comb.
That's very good.
That's how I feel. It is very good. And that's how I feel about living here. It's a place that's just so Republican that, you know, why does anybody even bother trying to be a Democrat at all? So on my bad days, that's how I feel.
Well, I understand, anyway, but from a historical perspective, there's always been a liberal streak in East Tennessee. It's almost been drowned out, but it was there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and especially in the cities, you know, like if it's Chattanooga or Knoxville. Chattanooga actually has city provided. High-speed internet right now.
Yeah, for a number of years.
That's kind of yes, it's really mind-boggling. So I'm amazed by that. Here, where I live, the utilities are provided by the city itself, and that's true of a lot of municipalities.
You'll find that in southern municipalities. The town I grew up in Alabama is the same way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But it's
the same thing with trash collection and sewage sewer services and clean water.
Yeah. Well, I'm finding the prices for these things are extremely high, by the way, in comparison with California. That's the shock about that. The pricing structure is regressive.
Well, see, you're in the heart of the TVA. And so the way that works is the TVA sells the power to the local municipal providers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets so the municipalities have to pay TVA, and then they mark it up as well as sort of, I guess, a value added, so that they can then maintain their infrastructure, and it does wind up being more expensive.
But also
because you're in TVA country, you're experiencing the lingering effects of mistakes that TVA made 40 and 50 years ago. Because
So what do you think?
Well, TVA started out and as it was going to be, the Tennessee Valley Authority, and it was going to be power based upon hydroelectric dams, and it worked. But they exceeded capacity, and they started adding in coal-fired power plants. And then in the post-World War II world, they said, hey, let's put in some of them newfangled nuclear plants. And so all of the industry, I mean, I experienced this firsthand, Richard, as a kid. All kinds of industry came into northwest Alabama and situated along the Tennessee River to take advantage of the practically give away cheap electricity. And then when TVA decided to get into the nuclear business and their nuke plants were in a state of constant disrepair and breakdown, and in one case at least near meltdown because some dude was checking for a gas leak with a candle and he found one, they had all this useless debt that they took on. And they had to, Uncle Sam wasn't going to just eat it, and it got passed on to the ratepayers, and all of a sudden the electricity wasn't cheap anymore. The economy went to shit, and so Reynolds and Ford and Union Carbide and a bunch of those others packed up and went elsewhere. Oh, wait a sec. Yeah, you're there.
I knew it all. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I lost you somewhere along the way. But it all boils down to money thrown down the nuclear rat hole by TVA. And it's still being paid for.
Yeah, well, it was funny. I had heart surgery in October. You know, a big deal. Quintuple bypass. And I've been kind of out of it for more than half a year. And while I was gone, somebody wrote to me on an audio bulletin board wanting me to come and evaluate his Hi-Fi system. And it turned out to be somebody right here in town, right here in Athens. And I had just gotten out of the nursing home, and he invited me over for Thanksgiving. He came over and picked me up. And this guy turned out to be a high-level manager at the nuclear power plant. So it was interesting for me to meet, you know, I've never gotten nuclear power before in my life, and here I am talking with the guy who's, you know, like in charge of it.
Right.
And it was awkward. I mean,
I can see where it would be.
Yeah, I have a friend in California who is an intellectual. He's turned into a Republican over the years, I think, and he's very much in favor of nuclear power. And I can't fathom where his head is at. So, but this is all pretty new. The issue of paying for it is sad because we pay access charges here. I mean, we pay money just to have the service. I've never lived anywhere else where that's true. I mean, I grew up in New York City. I lived in Connecticut. I lived in California. I never paid fixed charges just to have electricity. And I'm paying a fixed charge for that. I'm paying a fixed charge to have water. I'm paying a fixed charge just to have sewage service. And
you're in the South, my friend.
Is that normal for the South?
Well, I mean, it's TVA and it's the South, yeah.
Well,
I mean, I guess in California you had what, PG&E?
Yeah, well, for electricity and gas. Yeah, we have PG&E, which is a regulated utility, and the rate structure is graduated. So the more you use, the higher your rate is. And that's just how it's regulated in California. So, my utility charges typically were rather reasonable in California. But here, it's extremely high. Anyway, what happened with, I'll return to Indivisible and the Democrats. So I offered to revive the Indivisible website, not knowing that the people had just allowed the website to die completely. Because I couldn't get information I needed. I refused to get on Facebook because I will not be surveilled. And I feel the same way about most of Google's services, that, you know, I want their hands out of my underwear. And so I'm not participating in social media. And the individual people and the Democrats are communicating with each other on Facebook. And this presents a dilemma for me. So, for me, I have attempted to attend like 3 Indivisible meetings just this year that have been canceled on me without my knowledge. And it was important to me that somebody get that website up and running to at least announce the meetings. So, I offered to do it. Just thinking that I would be the webmaster, and it turned out the whole website was gone. And therefore, I offered to design the website from scratch, which is something I've never done. I mean, as a person who's worked in high tech, I have worked for companies that have had websites. I've worked for .coms, but I've never been involved in actually designing and building the website. So this was something that I would have had to learn how to do. And at the same time, I am learning Linux, for the same kind of reason. I do not want to be surveilled by Microsoft. So Linux is proving to be a tough slog for me. And by the way, one of our former listeners gave me a lot of help. Do you remember Don from Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good guy.
Yeah, well, I had called. Yeah, I had called you up and on the air. I said that I needed to learn how to work with Linux, and Don volunteered to give me some help. And Don gave me a tremendous amount
Beautiful.
Of help. I mean, he would stay with me on the telephone.
Yeah,
for like
Linux.
4 hours.
I mean, I've fooled with it a little bit, and Linux is no walk in the park.
Oh, it is not. The more I use it, the more frustrated I become. And I am a very experienced software guy. I mean, I used to be involved in the free software community, and you know, in the Linux world. I mean, the Microsoft world, and I have easily tried over 100 programs, and it's an exciting. It was an exciting community before the trolls destroyed it. And with all the experience and software behind me, I'm having a hell of a time with Linux because people won't explain things. That's the biggest
problem.
Well,
that's the curse. That's the curse of open source. And it's,
yes, it's true.
And it's also the curse of the modern approach to technology. You're supposed to go and watch a video on YouTube, or you're supposed to go to a so-called knowledge base that turns out not to be nearly as knowledgeable as you would rather like it to be.
Yeah. Well, also, a lot of the information on the web I've found is just plain wrong.
Well, there's that,
it's
too.
It's bad, you know?
You've got – and there's nobody – well, it's symptomatic, Richard – of the overall problem of internet technical culture and even journalism. There's nobody. Editing has become a casualty of a culture that is trying to run for free. I mean, look, the best example is probably the dedicated group of people who try to keep Wikipedia something on the up and up. And they're all volunteer editors.
Right.
But
yeah.
in most places, you just don't find that. And so it is frustrating, but you know, it's also the same thing. It's the same thing with Windows. It's the same thing with Mac OS, iOS. Because the bottom line for all of these tech companies is that they want to avoid paying human beings, and that's just capitalism.
Oh God, don't I know it?
Yeah, that's capitalism at work. I mean, it's the same thing when you walk in to Walmart or Kroger's. And you got a bunch of people there who, well, I mean, I'm talking about management. You know, all these automated checkouts.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And what they want you to, what they're telling you is, we want you to do our work for us so that we can make more money. You know, because the Walton heirs aren't rich enough yet. The Walton heirs haven't figured out, despite one of them skiing into a tree and dying or crashing a plane or whatever he did, they haven't figured out that that was years ago. They haven't figured out that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses.
Where's your nearest Walmart? Is it in Fayetteville?
Yeah, yeah. They built it on top of a Civil War site.
Where I'm living here, Walmart has occupied a sequence of 3 locations. It's on a hilltop right now, and they pretty much put everybody out of business locally.
Not surprising. I mean, And it's frustrating because from time to time I am enough of a label nerd. Just to give you an idea of one thing, I love that Dubliner cheese from the Kerrygold people, Irish.
Yeah.
It's almost it's $7 or more in Kroger's and $3.30 in Walmart for the same exact item. And I try to go to Kroger's because because I'm trying to support union workers.
Say it again. What about Kroger's?
I try to go to Kroger's because I want to support union workers.
Oh yeah. Wow. Well, you know, tell you something interesting about Walmart and where I was living in California, which was in Contra Costa County. Walmart wanted to come in and open up a store in the city of Hercules, which is north of Berkeley, you know, about maybe four or five towns north of Berkeley along the bay. And the city of Hercules got all upset and actually did all kinds of fancy local legislation to keep Walmart out, and they were successful. They were supported by both the existing supermarkets and the labor unions. So your management and labor were working together to keep Walmart out. The supermarket industry, at least in Northern California, is unionized.
And the supermarket industry is really, really difficult. They operate on a razor's edge margin. That's why they're trying to get more people to do their work for them. Like when I walked into Aldi, we got an Aldi over in Beckley. It's too far to go for my regular shopping.
You know,
what?
How lucky you are.
Yeah, I know.
I said how lucky you are.
Yeah.
I love Aldi.
And one of the one of the things I noticed about Aldi is that they don't have any self-checkouts. And two,
that's right.
And two, their cash register operators, their cashiers, get to sit down while they work.
Have you noticed what makes it possible for them to do that, by the way? Aldi has their own packaging for almost every single thing that they sell.
Yeah, and it's all high quality.
Exactly. If you look at the packaging, you'll notice that the barcodes are huge. They're enormous, and they're all over the package. So the checkout clerk can just, you know, whip it by the optical reader, and it's just more efficient. But I didn't notice that too. See, we have Aldi is an interesting company. If you look them up on Wikipedia, you'll see what their history is. Okay, yeah. And the relationship to Trader Joe, which I found fascinating.
Right, and Aldi sued and Aldi Nord. Yeah,
exactly. And so here in Tennessee, I think there's like just.
Well, darn, I lost Richard. Sorry about that, Richard, but we had to get out of here anyway. I promise I did not hang up on you. That's just another little technical gremlin. Let me apologize in the chat room real quick. So, we got to get out of here anyway, but we can't get out of here without Larry from Liberalville's answer. Okay? Remember, the question, and many of you chimed in on it, was, why is Trump's hair so long? And the answer is, to cover his ass. Now you understand why Larry from Liberalville got the pre-cowbell to cover his ass. This means, of course, that his ass is his head. I realize when you're explaining the joke, It's not nearly as good, but to cover his ass. And on the way out the door, I will say this for the overnight crew or the overmorning crew, wherever you are, whenever you are. $10, thanks, Ralphs, of Larry from Liberalville's challenge, $100, got made. And so that's going to leave us with a, unless the other 90 comes in, that's going to leave us with a deficit tomorrow. But, you know, stranger things have happened. So thanks, everybody. And you know, if you want to opine on the audio quality this evening with the new gizmo, you are more than welcome to do that. I welcome it. Don't get too technical. Don't tell me that there's a problem with the interface between the flageolet and the Knuten valve, but you get the idea. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks so very much to all of you who keep this all on the air with your kind contributions and your subscriptions. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.